I love the opening line of the third verse. Daily, I'm a debtor to grace. The grace of God is something that I need every day, and it's something that he gives us every day. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God does for us. Welcome to each one this morning. It's good to have each of you here. Our visitors, we're so glad you're here. Everyone, welcome. For a devotional this morning, I'd like to look at the focus of adversity. Something I've been thinking about a lot recently with what we've been going through. What is it that God is calling us to in difficult times? Why does he call us to difficult times? And when we face those, what does he want us to get out of it? And I believe that one of the things is that he wants to maybe redirect our focus to himself. Perhaps we've been becoming self-focused or world-focused. Maybe we've been becoming fearful or even content in our Christian walk. We're just kind of okay where we are, and we don't want to grow. And God uses adverse circumstances to refocus our lives if we allow him to. And so this is something I've been kind of just rolling around in my head, and I came across a study here just this week where they took three groups of people. There was a group of normal people, which I'm not exactly sure what they categorize as normal. But that's what they said. It was a group of normal people. And then they took a group of Marines, and they took a group of athletes. And they took one at a time, of course, and put them in an MRI machine. And some of you have probably been in one of those. If you haven't, you probably know what it looks like. It's essentially a metal tube. Very, very small. Very claustrophobic. I looked up, and after I read about this study, I had a picture in my head of what an MRI machine looked like, but I Googled it because I wanted to see a picture of what this study was done in. And one of the first things that came up was I just put in MRI machine. And, you know, sometimes it comes up with its own set of questions that are very common for people to ask. And one of the first things it said is, could I get stuck in an MRI machine? Was one of the suggestions. So it's a very small space. The next one was, if I'm claustrophobic, should I go in an MRI machine? So it's a tight space where if you're don't appreciate tight spaces, you might feel some anxiety. And they put people in these three groups. They put them individually into an MRI machine, and then they gave them cognitive tasks to do. They're supposed to figure things out and respond to difficult questions. And if that wasn't stressful enough, they started to gradually lower the oxygen level in that MRI machine. And so they're already feeling kind of trapped and stuck and nervous, and now their oxygen level's going down, they're having difficulty breathing, and they're still supposed to perform these cognitive tasks. And the interesting thing was, the group of normal people, which I would assume to be us, did it pretty much what you would expect. Their performance level, which was middling at best at the beginning, dropped dramatically as the oxygen level decreased. Their stress level shot through the roof, and so they very quickly pulled them out. In contrast to that, the group of Marines and the group of athletes actually performed better as their oxygen levels went down. As it got more and more difficult, not only did they maintain performance, they performed better. How did they do that? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. They have been training for years, in some cases their entire lives, for just such events as that. Difficult circumstances, times where their bodies are screaming for oxygen, but they need to continue to work anyhow. Times when they feel very uncomfortable, but they have to continue doing whatever it is that they're doing anyhow. That's what they train for. is exactly for that sort of circumstances. So when they hit them, not only do they perform well, they do better than they do under ideal circumstances. And I thought, what a picture of how we should be as Christians. We need to be, if you will, training for these difficulties, because in those times, our focus can actually grow sharper where it needs to be. Jesus said in Luke 9, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Now, the song we just sang talked about needing grace daily. Jesus is talking about taking up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. We have a tendency to run from adversity. We don't like adversity. And Jesus here is saying to embrace it. Joseph had a really good message here a few weeks ago about the glory of the cross and how that's actually the best place to be. Jesus says we need to embrace that cross daily. It's a form, again, it's a form, if you will, of training. So that when we hit a circumstance that is truly adverse, truly difficult, we know where to go. That training can kick in. And instead of becoming discouraged and disillusioned and perhaps losing our faith, we see it for what it is, a need for focus, a need for drawing closer to God. And we have that relationship with him that can back it up at that time. I'd like to read out of Philippians chapter 1. You can turn with me there, if you would, to Philippians 1. I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. Paul talking here of some of the adverse circumstances he was facing. So one of the questions that comes to my mind in thinking of this then is, what kind of adversity are we talking about when we have focus of adversity? Are we talking about asceticism, where I deliberately deprive myself of good things, where I do as ascetics, where I wear hair shirts that are very uncomfortable, go live by myself in a cave somewhere where I can barely have subsistence living, and I deliberately put these privations on myself in the hopes that that will bring me to God. That's not what it's talking about. So let's look at this. Philippians 1, verses 15 through 21. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What was the focus of these difficulties in Paul's life? What did he bring it back to? He brought it back to the gospel of Christ. He was saying, even though these things are difficult for me, if it's bringing people's focus to Christ, then it's accomplishing a good thing. If the adverse circumstances that were facing him were bringing people to the truths of salvation, to the saving of souls, to the magnification of Christ, then the adversity was achieving what it was supposed to. talking about the adversity of life in general. But then our Christian response in particular is what can make a good focus in adversity. There's realities of life that we live in a sinful, broken world that we face difficult things. We face death. We face temptations. There's many, many things that are simply a reality of living in a sinful, broken world. But our Christian response can bring that focus back to Christ. I'd like to read out of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter here. And it talks about, this is Paul talking to Timothy, essentially saying, these are difficult things you're going to face. Here is the strength for that focus. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I want to pause there just a little bit to look at how the first part of the chapter here deals with these realities that I was talking about, the realities of living in a sinful, broken world. The realities of life are that many ways life is adverse to Christians because so many people in the world live by a life code that goes directly against the mandates of Christ. And as we follow those mandates of Christ, we are in opposition to the mandates of the world. And so there are adverse circumstances that come from that. And the first part of the chapter talks about that. And he says, essentially, he's saying, Timothy, be prepared for this. This is what's going to happen. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, it says. Now, here's the key, I think, in verse 14 on down. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So there's the key. Continue in the things that are right. Continue in the things that are good. Now, before you can continue, you have to start. Paul was making an assumption that as a Christian, Timothy had started. He was trying. He was building up. He was conditioning his body, you could say. He was training for these adverse circumstances. And he says, you can be assured of these things. You can have faith. God's not going to let you down. God always keeps his promises. And the solution is found in the Word of God and in His Spirit that guides us as we flounder in waters that are too deep for us. So in conclusion, with God's power and grace, with constant training, staying in tune with God, staying in tune with His Word, we can be focused. And in those times of adversity, we can bring the focus back where it needs to be, back to God. Let's stand for prayer.